Let's take our Bibles tonight and turn over to the book of Luke, please. I know that since I've been here as pastor, at least in my mind, I am relatively sure that I have used this text before. But I want to use it again tonight. We do need to pray. I didn't make mention of it, and didn't come to my heart and mind until I was actually here in the altar praying. But we do need to pray for our country. I'm not going to say a whole lot, because if I did, I'm afraid I'd get in the flesh. But we need help. And we need a leader bad. In a bad way. Let's look tonight at Luke chapter number 17. This is probably a familiar story in the Bible. And I don't know if anyone else has had this problem this week. But ever since Sunday morning, I say it's a problem. I'm just kind of, I don't know, that's not really what it is, but I'm just kind of using that as a word. But there's a song that I heard Sunday morning that I can't get it out of my ears and my mind. I am so blessed. God's so good to me. Amen. And that just keeps ringing over and over and over in my heart and in my mind. Precious are His thoughts of you and me. No way we could count them. There's not enough time. But I want to thank Him for being so kind. We're blessed, aren't we, tonight? We're so blessed. The Bible in Luke 17 and verse 11, it said, "And it came to pass, as he, Jesus, went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, Go show yourselves unto the priest. And it came to pass that, as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, he turned back, and with a loud voice glorified God, and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger. And as he said unto him, Arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. Our Father, tonight we thank you for the passage of Scripture that we've read and for the truths that are contained therein. Lord, I know that, Lord, as I looked at this again, God, did it just seem so fitting, Lord, with next week being Thanksgiving. Lord, the fact that we have been so blessed. God, you've been so good to us. Lord, you so loved the world that you gave your only begotten Son. Lord, if we just fell at your feet, thanked you for that alone. No wonder the songwriter said, Lord, while the ages roll, I'll keep on praising Him. I pray, God, tonight that you would just help us, Lord, that we might glean something tonight from this passage that would stir us towards a thankful spirit, stir us towards the Thanksgiving season. Lord, I'm glad so far that at least that one day has not been commercialized. At least, Lord, families will get together and many will thank God at least for their food. Lord, we just thank you tonight that it goes way beyond a meal, way beyond even fellowship. Lord, it goes to being in the family of God. God, tonight in Jesus' name, we pray that we never get over that blessing. Amen. I want you to just see a couple of things here tonight, and we're going to, like Brother Brian said, we're going to have a business meeting tonight. I don't think it'll be real long, but we do have a couple of things we need to take care of tonight. I want to give you some things tonight that ought to cause us to return. I really didn't look it up, but I know that it was put in a president's heart somewhere way back to declare a day, the last Thursday in Thanksgiving, to be, or the last Thursday, there I go, Brother Brian, the last Thursday in November to be Thanksgiving. And when I looked at this today, I think it's a good idea. Because the Bible said here, if you notice here, they use the word returned. You see that right there? The Bible said, there are not found that returned. I don't think that God's people should just return once a year. But I do think that it's good to have a day set aside. Like we have Sunday set aside, the first day of the week, the day of the resurrection, that we get together and we worship. And that's not the only day we worship, amen? But that is a day that we set aside to get together. And so there was this one that returned. And what I'm hoping and praying tonight is when we look at this text that we'll see some good reason, not only that this man had to return, but that you and I have to return and to give thanks. It might be getting ahead of myself a little bit, but it's in my heart to say this right now. I want you to notice that the Bible said here in verse number 16, he fell down on his face at his feet. The leper that was healed fell on his face at the feet of Jesus, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. And what I want you to see right there is that giving him thanks is equated in verse number 18 to giving God glory. I've never seen that before. You see, in verse number 18, when Jesus spoke, he said, there are not found that returned. Now, Jesus could have said to give thanks, but he said to give God glory. You know what I believe tonight? I believe I'm standing in front of a bunch of people that know where the clothes on our back come from. And that know where the milk in our refrigerator come from. And know where the refrigerator come from. Know where the ability to read the Bible come from. The ability to take a pen and make a few notes. The ability to pray. I believe that I'm standing in front of a bunch of people that understand that every good and perfect gift. I'm telling you, Sunday morning, when Hannah and Maggie stood up here and sung the song, I've Been Blessed, I honestly believe that even at the young age Maggie is, she knows where that ability come from. To do what she's doing for the glory of God. And to give him thanks is to give him glory. I don't know that I've ever thought about it like that before.
To give him glory is to give him credit. And this, you know, Jesus told his disciples, without me, you can do nothing. And so he is the reason we do what we do. And the reason we can do what we do for his glory. Look at verse 11. It makes me want to return when I think about the fact that Jesus did something that others were unwilling to do. Brother Ralph, the Jews went out of their way to go around Samaria. Jesus wanted to go through Samaria. Not just the woman at the well, but here there's 10 lepers. He said, well, preacher, do you really believe Jesus knew that there was somebody down there that needed help? Here's what I really believe. Jesus knows everything. And instead of just aligning himself with custom because of his compassion, he went through Samaria. He said here, and it came to pass as he went to Jerusalem, he passed through the midst, right in the middle of Samaria and Galilee. I believe that when Jesus came into this world, he did something that no one else was willing to do. I believe that when many people would have looked at your life and my life before we were saved by the grace of God, they would have went around. But he came to me when I could not come to where he was. He came to me. I don't know about you, but that causes me to want to return and to give him thanks. The second thing I see in the text tonight is in verse number 12 here. The Bible said, as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. The second thing I wrote down tonight is that Jesus makes a way for those who are far off, that they might be able to come near unto him. The Word of God tells us that they were afar off, but you say, preacher, how did Jesus make a way? Well, the Bible said in Ephesians 2:13, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. We get to come near because of the blood. Leprosy, most everybody knows and understands, is a type of sin in the Word of God. It's a very, very excruciating disease. The lepers in the Bible times were required to separate themselves from the people. They were required to call out to the others, unclean, unclean. They had to stay away. I don't know about you, but I can remember a day in my life when I was so unclean. And I could not come near unto him apart from the blood that was shed on Calvary's cross. Psalm 73 and 28, the Bible said, but it is good for me to draw near to God. I've put my trust in the Lord God, that I may declare all thy works. I don't know about you tonight, but it makes me want to return when I think about the fact that Jesus did something that others were unwilling to do. That Jesus makes a way that those who are far off can be made nigh. In Hebrews 10:22, the Bible said, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. I mean, he's glad tonight there's no longer that middle wall or partition. Now, let me, he's glad tonight that we can come near unto our blessed Lord. Amen. I like the song that says, draw me nearer, 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 blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding side. Jesus did something others were unwilling to do. It causes me to want to return. Jesus makes a way that those who are far off can be made nigh. We ought to pray constantly. We ought to make this a matter of prayer. That God will let people come through these doors that are far off. Amen. Brother David, before they leave, they'd be near. They'd meet Jesus in faith and understand their need of His precious blood, of His cleansing. The third thing I want to point out tonight in verse number 13 here, the Bible said, and they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. This is what I want to say right here. It causes me to return because Jesus turned their desperation into deliverance. They were desperate. Can I say this to you tonight? I believe when a person sees themselves hanging over hell, it sees that they've offended a holy God. It sees that they're in trouble with God. I believe it creates a desperate situation. But the Lord that I serve specializes in turning desperation into deliverance. They're desperate. They're crying out with a loud voice. Let me say this. I don't believe they cared who heard them. I believe if there was some smart aleck over there on the corner saying, "Why don't y'all shut up?" they just got louder. They were desperate. You know what's pretty evident to me? A couple of things. Some way or another, Brother Arnold, they recognized who Jesus was. And some way or another, they had heard by the hearing of the ear, no doubt, if He did so many things that the whole world couldn't contain the books that'd be written, they must have heard. This man can help us. This man that causes the blind to see. This man that causes the lame to walk. This man that causes the deaf to hear. This man that raises the dead. Surely leprosy would be no problem for Him. And He was about to turn their desperation into deliverance. The psalmist David said in Psalm 61 and verse 1, "Hear my cry, O God, attend unto my prayer." I'll never forget, it was one night over at Oak Glen, Brother Danny was preaching, and I'll never forget it. When he made this statement, he said, "We need to get the O back in our prayer life." That's that desperation. Not only were these desperate to be saved, but you and I ought to be desperate to see our loved ones saved. I'm paying attention when people say in their prayer requests, "Pray that my loved ones will be saved." How many of us have unsaved loved ones? We need to pray that our loved ones will be saved. But then we need to pray that all of those that do not know the Lord will come to that place of repentance. Isaiah 59 and 1 said, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither is His ear heavy that it cannot hear." You know what these people believed? They believed Jesus would listen to them. They were desperate, and they believed if they just cry out to Him, that He would hear. I believe tonight that God's in the hearing business, don't you? It caused them, this one man, to return. The next thing I see that I want to magnify tonight is Jesus in verse number 14. The Bible said, "And when He saw them," listen to me carefully right here, The Bible said his eyes go to and fro in the earth, beholding the good and the evil. This is what I want to magnify right here tonight. He saw them, and he still loved them. That rich ruler, the Bible said in Mark chapter 10, and when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, saying, "Good master, what shall I do that I might inherit, may inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said unto him, "Why callest thou me good? There's none good but one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments: do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, defraud not, honor thy mother and father." And he answered and said unto him, "Master, all these have I observed from my youth." This verse. Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him. When Jesus looked at this rich man, this rich young ruler, he loved him, and he said unto him, "One thing thou lackest. Go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor. Thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And come, take up the cross and follow me." And the word of God said, and he was sad at that saying, and he went away grieved, for he had great possessions. I think Brother Brian made mention of this in his Sunday school lesson. I'm not changing the word of God. This man had great possessions. But I also believe great possessions had this man. Great possessions kept him from Christ. Great possessions. But the thing I wanted to key in on is that Jesus, when he saw them, he loved them. When he saw this rich young ruler, he loved them. And when he saw me February 22nd, 1987, sitting there on the front bench in a Baptist church, never having been saved, never having been born again, he loved me. He didn't love me any more than he did when I was a teenager. He didn't love me any more than he did when I was a youngin. But he still loved me, even after I had made a complete mess of my life. He loved me. Jesus sees us, and he still loves us. That caused this man to return, and it causes me to want to return. By the way, we could use that illustration for before we were saved, when we were saved. But what about since we've been saved? Has anybody ever failed the Lord since you've been saved? Can I tell you this? When he looked at you, when he saw your failure, when he saw your sin and my sin, it didn't keep him from loving us. He hates sin. Don't ever get the idea that God loves sin, because he don't. He's holy. He hates sin. And he always has, and he always will. I believe he hated leprosy, but he loved the lepers. Leprosy is a result of the curse of sin, just like cancer is, just like all the other disease that we have in the world today. Not necessarily personal sin, but corporate sin under Adam. Amen. Amen. We were out there working the other day, and Brother Gary and I picked up a board and I slid my hand down that board. Dumb thing to do, without gloves on especially. And I picked up a splinter. And we went over to Wendy's to get something to eat, and I said, "Brother Gary, hold on there a minute." I got my pocket knife out and I went to digging. I got tired of that thing being in there. I mean, he's glad God put something in us called the Holy Spirit. When there's something in there that don't belong in there, he can pick it out. He returned. He gave glory to God. He gave thanks. He fell on his face. The last thing tonight, 1 out of 10 return. 1 leper out of 10 return. One of them, when he saw that he was healed, he turned back. And with a loud voice, he glorified God. He fell down on his face, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. I don't know. There's something in me that makes me believe that this man knew that he was undeserving of what had just happened in his life. Jesus wanted to know. He said, I don't understand. Were there not 10 cleansed? You say, well, preacher, they didn't come back. How did Jesus know they were cleansed? I told you a while ago, right? He knows everything. And he said, there are 10 cleansed, but where are the 9? I wonder, throughout this season that we've come upon and a nation has set aside a day, I wonder if our Lord will not say, where are the 9? There's just one. And Jesus answered and said, where there are not 10 cleansed, but where are the 9? I wonder which group will we as God's people find ourselves in this Thanksgiving? In the group with the 1 or in the group with the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God save this stranger. I've told you this story before. There's some here that haven't heard it. I think my sister's heard it, but it's been probably years ago. My son got old enough to ask the blessing over the food. And they both, Amanda and Jeremy both, they started out. And, John, is Max and Miles praying over the food yet? Do they say a little prayer? Not yet over the food. My youngin' started out with, God is good. God is great. Let us thank Him for our food. By His hands we are fed. Give us now our daily bread. Amen. And Amanda started out praying like that, and then she got to where she prayed in her own words. And Jeremy started out praying like that. He was little, probably about 4 years old. He bowed his head, started his God is good prayer, and he said, God is good, God is hot. He stuck his nose in his mashed potatoes and gravy when he bowed his head. I remember looking at Miss Eve and saying, he might be on to something. Our Bible said our God is a consuming fire. Amen. Jeremy would pray after that. And he would look across the table at me and he would say, hey, Dad. I'd say, what, son? He'd say, one eye open and one eye closed. That's how he prayed for a long time after that. Probably for a year when he prayed over the food. And then one day, Jeremy, he began to pray in his own words over the food. I'll never forget it. He said something like, Lord, I thank you for our food. I thank you for my mom. And I thank you for my dad. And he began to say stuff like this. Lord, I thank you for my fork. And I thank you for my spoon. And I thank you for my plate. And by then I lost it. We were in Wise at the time, so I was probably 30, 31, 32 years old, Brother Randy. Two things. Number one, I had never thanked God for a fork or a spoon. Number two, I'd never heard anybody else thank God for a fork or a spoon or a plate. When he got done, I was weeping and Amanda was cackling. She was laughing. She thought that was hilarious. I said, Amanda, what's so funny? She said, you know, Daddy, Jeremy thanking God for a fork and a spoon and a plate. I looked at Amanda and I said, Amanda, I said, suppose Mommy brought our mashed potatoes in here and just throwed them down on the table. And then we had to pour gravy on them and then we had to eat them with our fingers. She said, "Ooh, yuck, Daddy." I said, "Maybe it's not such a bad idea to thank God for a plate and a fork and a spoon." I believe out of the mouth of babes sometimes we can learn some things. Amen. This man returned. He gave glory to God. Only one out of the ten. This man that was a leper. The Bible said there were not found that returned to give glory to God save this stranger. That word stranger lit up a little reminder in my heart. I looked up a couple verses. The Bible said that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. I'm glad I'm not going to go through Thanksgiving without God and without hope. Our nation's in a mess. But I tell you, I'm looking for the glorious appearing. Amen. The blessed hope. And the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, the Lord Jesus. In Ephesians 2:19, the Bible said, "Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God." Jesus then said to this man, he said unto him, "Arise, go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole." How many remembers the story? I think it's John chapter 9. I'm almost sure it is. When Jesus healed the blind man. And they came and asked him, who did sin? His parents or this boy that he was born blind? And Jesus said, "Neither, but for the glory of God." And you remember Jesus, he gave him back his physical sight. You remember that? He gave him back his physical sight. And then this young man came to where Jesus was there in the temple. I remember he asked Jesus the question, said, "Who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him?" And Jesus said, "I that speak unto thee am he." Now he received a different kind of sight right there. He received his physical sight, and then he received his spiritual sight. I believe that with all my heart. Right here, I believe we're looking at 10 men that received their physical healing. But I'm not so sure that just one. That one that returned. He's the only one that heard Jesus say, "Go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole." This man had enough faith to obey, but then he had enough faith to go back and fall down on his face and give him thanks. And by doing so, he gave glory to God Almighty. I just want to make sure in my heart that I don't act like the nine. That I return. Charity sent a text this morning and asked us to pray. She was going for a job interview this afternoon. I thank God for children that want us to pray. That want to be in God's will. Amen. We got a lot to thank Him for, don't we? We're blessed. So blessed. God has been good. So good. Amen. Well, let's make sure we return, okay?
and give God the glory. Father in heaven, thank you for the privilege to be here tonight. Thank you, God, for each one that's come. I pray, Lord, tonight that you take the little story of the Samaritan, Lord, that was a leper, a stranger. Lord, afar off. Lord, we can see in the mirror exactly what we were without Jesus. But Lord, we just thank you tonight that you've birthed us into your family, put it in our heart to return to give you thanks. Lord, I've always known around the church there's just a couple of things that just seems to really, really, really invite your presence. That's when God's people are giving, Lord. Giving to a missionary or giving to a cause. Then, Lord, when God's people just begin to thank you, Lord, it just seems like you show up in mighty power. God, help us as a church, help us as families to never forget where our blessings come from. Help us to magnify the Lord at work and at school, in our church, in our community. And God will give you glory in Jesus' name.